Yeah. Hi there. I'm here with Warren Edwards from Wine for Spice. With me is Charlie Forbes. So, Warren, what is Wine for Spice? What's the concept all about?
Hello, Ed. Hello, Charlie. It's Wine for Spice. It's wines to drink with spicy food. It's basically what it says on the tin. And they're refreshing, they're cool, and semi-sparkling wines to drink with curries and spicy food.
Okay. So, I mean, what's wrong with normal wine, are they?
Well, normal wine's fine, and I love a big, bad Shiraz, but not with a curry. And most people drink a lager with curry, so I felt, well, why fight it? So if you don't drink a warm, flat beer with curry, don't drink a warm, flat wine with it either.
That sounds like a good pencil to me. I know I tend to drink lager with curry. I'm not a big lager fan. So, well, maybe this will be something different. Charlie, what about you?
Well, this is definitely something that I'd be interested in because I don't really drink lager. It's horrible stuff. So, is it just that you've selected particular wines that you feel go very well with the curry itself, or is there anything, do they come from a certain region, or what's distinctive about them?
Well, what's distinctive, the key word here is refreshing in big, bad capital letters.
Okay.
So I wanted something refreshing, and I wanted them to be cold. I wanted semi-sparkling, so half the gas of a cava or a champagne, a good level of alcohol, neither too high nor too low. What's very important, there are no red wines in this list. We have a bone dry white, we have a medium dry rosé, and an off dry gold. And the rosé is the closest thing we're going to get to red wine, but no tannin, because tannin is mouth drying.
Okay, so the emphasis is on quite sort of light wines to complement the curry, because often curry can be quite heavy, very rich food, so it's to sort of complement the two.
It's yin and yang. To complement. You can have yin and a bit more yin. So if you want to have your mouth being set on fire, what you want is a really tanniny red wine, and that'll dry your mouth, and it'll allow the chilies to burst forth and numb your palate. So you have a spicy dish, then you have a cool, refreshing wine or a lager, and then you have another mouthful of spicy food.
Okay. Well, I think the real test, I think, for us is going to be trying some of this wine. At least that's what I've been looking forward to all day anyway.
You got the glasses?
We've got some glasses up here.
So the first wine, as I said, is a very crisp, dry white, semi-sparkling.
Okay, so this is the one you'd want with a
mild curry. It's Viceroy White. Again, half the gas of a cava or a champagne.
Yes, it definitely doesn't taste. It doesn't have the same whoomph in your mouth as a cava or champagne does when you try taking a sip of that and you end up with bubbles up your nose or anything. So this is never been the biggest. I hate to say it, I've never been the biggest fan of champagne, but this is actually this is different from champagne. It's not as bubbly, is it?
What I'm driving at here is mouth-watering and refreshing, and this has got a good level of crisp acidity. So those who remember their A level or even O level chemistry, the gases is CO2. Which in solution, and I've been doing my wine exams recently, I'm a banker by training, but if you think about it, the CO2 in solution becomes carbonic acid.
Yeah.
And the carbonic acid adds to the acidity, adds to the mouth-watering feel. So just think of a Coca-Cola, something simple, as generic as that, a Coca-Cola with gas and then with the gas knocked out. It's much sweeter with the gas knocked out. So the acidity generated by the carbon dioxide, therefore the carbonic acid, neutralizes the sugar and makes it a lot drier, mouth-watering.
Try some as well, Charlie. So, I mean, I suppose this is as good a time as any to ask. I mean, what kind of price are we talking about for a bottle of this? Because obviously champagne is pricey and even carbon's not too cheap. What's the rough price point?
They've just been listed at Waitrose Cambridge. Now, Waitrose Cambridge in Trumpington is the only supermarket in the country that's stocking these wines.
Right.
They're available online, and in Waitrose Cambridge, they're stocked at £5.99 a bottle.
Okay.
But online, they're buy two cases of six, get one case free. We could organise some prizes for...
For me, definitely just for me, I think.
So we can have some a fixed competition, something like an Eastern European election, and we can make sure.
Yes, that sounds much more like it. I agree with that, but yes, definitely. It's certainly worth trying, I have to say. It seems it is different from most wine. It's not as, certainly, like I say, it's, the only thing I can really say is it's not as bubbly as a champagne, but it's, in some respects, it's actually kind of refreshing as one as well. Mm. And I think that's possibly what you're aiming at there.
I want it refreshing, but I don't want it too sparkling because these are food wines. So you can imagine yourself having food with a fully sparkling wine or even a burpy lager. And A, it's going to get very social, and B, more important.
Well, I think, you know, that's part of the fun, isn't it? Going around belt. No, that's just me. Never mind.
and you want to leave room for the food.
Absolutely. I completely agree. And there's certainly problems. You can go out for a curry, can't you? Have a couple of lagers first and you end up not being a bit full up. You don't really want a pudding either. Okay, maybe not for, you don't necessarily want a pudding at a curry house, but I know exactly where you're coming from with that.
Ed, are you ready for the rosé?
I think we'll give that a go.
And Charlie?
So you say you can buy these online. Is that via the Waitrose website, or do you have your own website where people can buy them?
They're on, that's a good question, on wineforspice.com.
Wineforspice.com,
and we'll be linking to that from the CUR1350 website, so if you don't remember the name, just pop along to us, click through, and away we go. One of the things Cambridge has on its curry houses, of course, if you're heading down to a lot of the curry houses, such as the Curry King and so on and so forth, they'll actually let you bring your own wine, or they'll let you bring your own beer. Now, the advantage of that is, of course, you don't have to drink their generally overpriced, as we say, flat wine. Probably doesn't really go with the curry. So you can maybe take a couple of bottles of this along, you know? So you're saving a little money on the wine because you're buying it in advance, cheaper than curry house prices, and you're actually getting a nicer deal. So this is the rosé.
This is rosé, and it's fruitier, and it goes with a medium strength curry.
Okay, so
the white was very dry.
Tikka masala, that kind of.
A meat here.
Yeah.
So if you're thinking of lamb, we're at Easter. It's Rogan Josh. Rogan Josh would be just right. Yeah. So it's a bit spicier.
Okay.
So you've got that, and a rosé. Most people would know, but some might not. A rosé is made entirely of red grapes. It's not a mixture of red and white. And it's becoming very popular again. Had a bad press some years ago, but you get some very good rosés. And rosé is just great in summer. It's got all the goodness of a red wine without the tannin. And I've left these on the skins for just about 18 hours. And that's just enough to bring in some colour and flavour, but without the tannin.
Yeah. Well, I just have to say that I can just imagine myself eating a curry now with this. I just want some food to go with it. It just feels like, you just want to grab something, eat. But that's just me, and I'm quite hungry. It's getting on in the evening, and I'd like some food right now.
You're going to go out for a curry later on, you Ed.
He's saying that we can't actually play this in the morning now.
Oh. Well, we can replace it with... I don't think we can play it in the morning, eh? So... We're going to cut that bit.
Should talk about grapes, so.
Yes, it is quite nice. I do like this as well, Charlie. I mean,
I like rosé. Now, you said, sorry, this is me displaying my total ignorance about wine, but what's the difference between, you say it's made with red grapes, so what do they do to rosé to make it rosé? Why was it different from red wine?
Okay, well, there's only one wine that's actually made from a combination or a handful of wines, one main wine made from white and red grapes.
Okay.
And that's champagne.
Right.
Nearly all champagne is, other than a Blanc de Blanc, nearly all champagne is made from a mixture of red and white grapes, but it comes out pretty much white or creamy. But rosés, legally in Europe and most of the world, are made out of red grapes only, and they're just left on the skins for varying, varying numbers of hours. And so you can get some very light rosés, pale rosés, that are left on the skins for about 6 hours, 10 hours, and these I leave on the skins for 18 hours.
I see.
And you get some up to a day, so they're a lot deeper.
Mm. Well, it's very nice. It's got sort of just a bit more of a kick to it, hasn't it?
Yeah, I would say that all of these is often you find with some wines, you know, you've got a bit of an aftertaste afterwards and, you know, so on and so forth. But this is, you just don't have that horrible aftertaste afterwards. It just goes down like a treat, as it were. I could almost imagine it's a bit more of an aperitif as well as something with food. I think, again, it's the whole refreshing aspect coming back.
Refreshing aperitif, it's before or even during the meal.
Exactly. But at the same time, it's something that could definitely go well with a curry. I completely agree.
You're enjoying that there, aren't you, Ed?
I want a curry.
And this, as you notice, you hope you notice, it's a lot more fruity than the first one, the Viceroy White.
Definitely.
And the reason is that the spicier the curry, the fruitier, sweeter the wine you want.
Okay.
Just think of a mango pickle or mango chutney, how the mango locks into the chili. And you get a chemical reaction with quite a hot curry. And if you add some sugar to cooking, you add some sugar to a hot curry or fruit, then the sweetness in the fruit or the sugar will marry into the chili and allow the spices to come through and the fruit and the wine to come through.
Maybe that's what I should try sometime in my cooking then. So you say sugar in a hot curry.
Well, sugar, if you want to make it mild, if you want to knock that chili level off.
Okay.
So what you do, you have a mouthful of the curry and rice, and then you soothe your palate with the fruitier wine, and then you're ready for the next bam.
Because my mum always puts sugar in curry, and I've never really understood why. I don't think she really knows why she does it either, but that's why.
Knocks it down. And that's why the third wine we've got is... The Rani Gold is a lot fruitier. So it's, if you look at the bottles there, they're reminiscent of Alsace wines. A lot of people recommend Alsace wines. And I used to drink a lot of Alsace wines. And a wine from Spain, a Torres Viña Esmeralda, used to be my favorite. But I thought I could do better. And that's basically 85% Muscat and 15% Gewürztraminer.
So fairly sweetish, I suppose. Isn't it?
Fruity. It smells sweeter than it tastes. And you can't smell sugar, but whatever that means, it smells floral rather than sweet. But what I did, I thought I could go a couple of steps better. Now, if you have something like a Muscat or an Alsace wine, they're very good, but I find that they're just a bit too fruity. It's like glugging your girlfriend's cologne or perfume. And it's just a bit over the top.
Yeah.
So what I've done is I tried to cut it. So this Rani Gold, it's only 50% Muscat.
Okay.
And 50% of the first one, the Viceroy White, which is nice and crisp.
So you kind of got a bit of you've got a blend, obviously, haven't we? Pretty much halfway between the two, as it were.
And then, so you've got that blend, and then I second ferment it to produce the natural gas. And remember what I said earlier about the CO2 in solution becoming carbonic acid?
Mm-hmm.
Adds another level of crisp mouthwatering. So although it's a medium, the net effect is quite crisp.
So you've got the fruitiness behind, but you've got the kind of the bubbles and the refreshingness on top of that as well. So you've still got the fruity background to it, as it were, maybe, or with being a bit, while still being quite refreshing and not too not too overpowering.
Right. Charlie, now just smell that.
Okay.
It smells.
It does.
And that's the 50% Muscat. And Muscat's got a very strong aroma. It's... I'm going to have some myself. Now, Muscat is the only grape that actually smells and tastes like grapes. All other grapes in a wine smell like and taste like strawberries, raspberries, plums, blackcurrants, grass.
Whatever the wine critics decided they can smell in them today.
Farmyards.
Fortunately, we're not wine critics over here, so we're not going to
just drink the stuff. So this is 50% Muscat. It's got that fruitiness. But on the palate, because it's cut with that with the first one, which is basically Carver mix, but I've selected good grapes.
Okay.
And they're all Catalan grapes. If I can remember my Catalan, they're Macabeo, Parellada, and Charolo.
Okay. I'll take you with that. Yeah. I've been to Barcelona. I've done my cava before. I know it's nice enough stuff.
Well, so what do you think of these?
It's really good. I have to say, I don't usually like more medium wine. I prefer my dry stuff. To be honest, I prefer my red over my white in any case. But this is...
On its own, it's fruity, but just think of it with a really hot curry.
And you've got the two... You're kind of marrying the flavours, aren't you? You're marrying, the sweetness along with the heat. Yep. Spice that you're getting from the curry.
Mm.
And what will happen, the chemical reaction you'll get with this fruitier wine and a hot curry is the chili will lock into the sugar. Mm. So after having a mouthful of hot curry, you won't feel that sweetness at all. And you just get that fruitiness in the wine coming through and the spices in the curry coming through around the chilies and around the sweetness.
Mm.
So you get a bit of yin and yang.
Yes, definitely. I have to say it is... All three of the wines have certainly been something I would consider buying myself.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's a glowing recommendation or just me being, I'll drink anything. But I suspect it's somewhat more the former than the latter. Dan, do you agree?
What? I'm not supposed to be talking on this interview. I'm just
okay, fine. Fine.
So, how did you get into it? How long have you been running this company? How did you start off?
I started this off just under 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And I was a banking consultant and an investment banker for a number of years.
Right.
And therefore, I've been drinking good wine for a number of years. And I worked as a corporate treasurer for some years and with a good credit rating, and therefore I had an expression I can only talk to you with my mouth full. So I had had good experience with wines, and I also happened to be a member of the London Business School wine tasting team. We won the Paul Roger Cup 2004.
Huh.
And there's a picture of me with this cup on the website. And so I've been tasting socially and competitively wine for a while. And my roots are in India. I was brought up in India, came to England in 67. And I was in in fact, my first taste of wine was in boarding school in India. It was a Jesuit boarding school, so like a good Jesuit boarding school boy, I got to the chapel a bit early. And I tried the wine.
Well, of course.
Of course. And mass wine. And it's decades later I tried it. And it's very similar to this Rani Gold I had. It's Muscat. It's there's a lot of Muscat in there. And it's so that was my first taste of wine at the age of 8.
Okay.
And I've been eating curry for a long time. So I thought I'd put the two together because... like both of you, I had been drinking lager with a curry, but I wasn't quite satisfied because the lager just too much volume and too burpy. So I wanted to get something better, and I was working on a finance problem for a client, and I thought I'd try a spritzer, a white wine with some soda.
Mm.
And I thought, oh, you know, that's what you need for a curry. You want the best aspects of a lager in a quality white wine. So second fermented. Get some natural gas in there, no gas added, and to make it nice and mouth-watering and refreshing.
Okay. Hmm.
So how do you see the future of your company? Are you going to extend your range of wines, you know, get them being sold in more outlets? What's your plan for the next few years?
Well, they've been going fairly well, or very well, at Waitrose, Cambridge and Huntingdon. And fingers crossed, they could be launched across the country in Waitrose. And Waitrose are a very good brand to be associated with.
Mm. Mm.
I don't see them at every other supermarket for a while. Give Waitrose a good lead time. But they're also being sold direct on the web. So we're going to be at country shows around the country, in Cambridgeshire certainly. And so people at the shows can check our website for the events page and visit us at one of the shows locally or buy some off the web.
Yeah, I was saying, like we were saying before, maybe buy a case or three off the web because you got your discount, didn't you, when you buy two, get one free. So buy yourself a few cases and, you know, next time you're down at the curry house with your drinking society or what have you, take a few cases of this along and I think it'll probably... It'll be a bit of a change from the lager, anyway. I can say that.
And looking ahead, there's no red wine, and we were talking about the rosé about it being 18 hours. So we're working on a red wine. Now, if you just think back to tea, if you want to knock off the tannin from a tea, and what do? You add some
milk
and
sugar.
Milk and sugar, wonderful. Well done. So you add some to knock off.
I'm not a tea drinker, eh?
Neither am I.
But that's fairly obvious. If you want to knock off tannin from a tea, you add milk and sugar, and presto, the tannin levels have disappeared.
Yeah.
So if you want to knock off the tannin from a red wine, what
please
do you do?
Please don't add milk.
You don't add milk,
but you just add sugar.
But you add sugar. So we talk about the sugar is easy enough. You add a bit of a sweeter wine and the equivalent, just enough to sweeten it up, which will knock off the some of the tannin.
Mm.
But then you also want to add some milk. So you get your thinking cap on. And how do you add milk to wine and not have Ed smiling? So there is a bacteria which produces a fermentation process called malolactic fermentation, MLF, malolactic fermentation. Now, what that does, it converts malic acid, which is... apple crisp acid to lactic acid, which is milky acid.
Okay.
So that's you create a venous equivalent of milk. So you you've all had a buttery Chardonnay.
Yep.
And buttery Chardonnay, or there's a Semillon, which is quite buttery. Mm. You've heard of buttery wines, or a Viognier, which is quite buttery. So try it yourself at home. Take a big bad Shiraz, and add a dollop of Semillon or Chardonnay or Viognier, and hey presto, the tannin will disappear.
Ah, that's nice. So the red wine, obviously not a sparkling red wine you're looking at then.
Oh, and then we've got second fermented.
Sparkling red. I've vaguely heard of sparkling Merlot or something once. I'm not entirely sure what. I can't say I've ever tried it, but...
There are a number of good sparkling reds, and we're going to move on to that. We're looking at the semi-sparkling first, and okay. So we'll second ferment that. So we've first got to knock off the tannin with... The wine equivalent of milk and sugar through something like a buttery white, Viognier probably. Probably look at adding 25-30% of Viognier and Semillon. That'll knock off the tannin. And then a bit more sweetness, not sweet, but sweetness to knock off more tannin and second fermented. Beyond that, we'll be looking at perhaps fully sparkling wines.
Okay. All right, then, sir. Does sound pretty good. And like I say, these are definitely... Do we get any more of these?
You want to start at the
so
beginning?
I don't mind.
Do we continue recording this until someone's falling over?
We'll see if the questions and answers are consistent.
Well, yeah.
Thank you.
Well, you know, there just seems to be so much going in.
Thank you.
Dan, do you want some more? Dan,
well, you go for them driving. If you want to use this glass or...
Oh. Well, if you say so.
Why not? Why not? It seems pretty nice stuff. I just feel sorry for the people who aren't here. Anyone out there listening? I have to say, it is actually, I know it sounds like I'm being a little sycophantic here, but it is actually worth trying. I was worried about this. I haven't done too many interviews before. I was just worried I'm going to sound really, oh yes, it sounds too appetizing. But it is worth trying for yourself. And like I say, if we'll see what we can do with the competition. We'll see if we can get as many of you to win as possible. Maybe we'll take you all out for a curry, or you winners or something. I don't know. Sounds like dinner.
You can, Ed. Are you paying?
I'll give you a hint on the curry. I'm also going to be sycophantic because I've just come from Waitrose Huntingdon, but their curries are incredibly good.
They're just the microwave.
That doesn't surprise me.
They're produced in a massive factory in West London, a company called Noon Foods. But they're actually very good, particularly the prawns. And they're really... I've passed them off as my own. I said this on public radio.
Yeah, I think I've had them once or twice before, and I admit again, sycophantic, but they're bloody brilliant, I have to say. You know, and I can imagine something like that going very well with this. Or I would say, you know, you take it to your curry house, and you have your curry with your group of mates, and you take a few bottles of wine along, and, you know, it's a bit more civilised than taking a few bottles of beer along or something, I don't know.
Yeah, no, it is. I mean, you started off by saying that all your wines are designed to be very refreshing, and they are. In fact, probably have gone straight to my head. So writing my essay this afternoon should be quite interesting. But I'd just like to say thank you very much for coming in today. It's been really good. And this has been one of the far more enjoyable interviews I've done. We should have more wine in interviews,
I think. It's going to get even more fun as the
afternoon goes on, exactly. So thank you. And check out the website. That's www.wineforspice.com, is that right?
Wineforspice.com.
Wineforspice.com.
That's fine. You don't need the W's. Now, okay. Now on the W's, can you...